Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Hey, BE community, how you doing?
Hello, hello, hello.
Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. It's been a full one over here.
Yeah, man.
Yes, children getting sick.
Oh.
Experiencing four seasons in a day.
Yeah, literally.
Tornado.
Not even a week in a day.
Rain, hail, cold.
Now snow. The sun's back.
Yeah, snow. Don't forget the snow.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the sun's back out.
Yep. But it's still cold. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. It looked beautiful, but it's frosty. Gonna be 80 again. So it's like
Mason's got this new thing now where he likes to walk around in his underwear.
Yes, I remember you said he wanted to be free. He want to be
I'm
free.
Like, it's cold, sir. It's very, very cold. That's why you coughing. You want to walk around in underwear when it's cold and won't keep your clothes on. But now, like, so I think the other day he was like, cold.
And then, yeah.
he was pointing for his clothes. I was like, yeah. We've been trying to tell you, sir.
To keep
your clothes on. It's cold.
Yeah. All right. Let them connect the dots. You know, sometimes you got to find out the hard way, but it's all right. Let them connect.
Hello. You know, I just be picking and choosing my battles. So you want to walk in underwear? So be it.
There
sir.
You go.
Walk around in underwear. That's a battle I'm not fighting. So, yeah, it's been very interesting in the Morehouse.
Oh, God bless you, Toya.
What's going on in Dawsonville?
Oh, it's just, yeah, it's been a full week. I feel like every day there has been something. And so I'm trying to make it to my birthday, to my birthday vacay. And hopefully from there.
What you doing for your birthday?
We are going to Amelia Island in Florida. So I have decided that my birthday tradition consists of three things. Number one, being by the water. That is my happy place. I don't even have to get in it. I mean, it's early in the season, but if I can have a beautiful view to it, I'm good. Number one. Number two, getting a massage. If I can decompress and just have a moment to exhale and relax, I'm good. And then number
three,
you can't forget number three. Number three is good food. So those three things, I'm good. And so I had that combination last year for my birthday and I was like, yes, this is the tradition. And I've had it sporadically in years before, but I think last year was probably the closest to where I was like, yes, we need to duplicate this. So yeah. I'm excited. I celebrate all month long because that's my business. That's what I'll do. That's what I want to do. And so a large part of that really is going to be me actively unplugging and reclaiming my evenings. Like these last couple months, I feel like there's been something every single day. And so I'm just looking forward to reclaiming my evenings. Work, I am starting to exhale with work. I pray that I continue to exhale with work. My big event is next week and we've had some fire drills, but I'm like, okay, God, you have brought us through every one of them. So the prayer is that everything will go smoothly next week and that I won't have any, you know, major hiccups and people blowing me up saying, what about this? What about that? So I'm like, okay, God, like, we almost there. So I this week has felt hopeful for me because I have seen light at the end of the tunnel and experienced some moments of catching my breath. And so the prayer is that it would continue, you know, and all the while really surrendering to God. Like, that's kind of been my word or theme for this week. Our pastor talked about answering the call to surrender. And there are a lot of things that I've been believing God for and planning certain things and even asking certain questions, like, give me clarity here, give me clarity there. But this week I was reminded to just reset and to really just be like, seek ye first, and to give all of those things to him, like the wants, the needs, the desires, the hopes, the dreams, like to lay them all at his feet and to trust him with wherever he wants to take me, whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. Like, it is not my job to present something to him to bless. It is my job to present myself at his feet and ask whatever it is that he wants to bless in mm-hmm. that. So, and to pursue that. So that has been my reset for the week. Yeah, just surrender. But yeah, it's been a full week, but a hopeful one, where I'm like, okay, God, like, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. So
keep
walking towards it by the grace of God, girl. I'm gonna keep walking towards it.
Yes. And this week, my job for one of our faculty meetings, mm-hmm. They were able to give us like massages. We had some canvas painting.
Yes.
Donuts. And,
I love it.
It was such a nice little treat. And the mm-hmm. massage was just like, oh.
Yes.
He was like, ma'am, you need to be stretching more. He said my muscles were so tight. And I was like, yeah, I was telling him that I walk a lot. He was like, mm-hmm. yeah, you got to stretch. Yeah. But it felt so good when I got up.
Amen. Was it Teachers Appreciation Week or what was the occasion?
I think it's just like, I think it's kind of partially for mm-hmm. Teachers Appreciation, since we mm-hmm. technically miss like the official Teacher Appreciation Day that people typically celebrate it. So,
mm-hmm. Amen. That's what's up. Well, praise God for the massage, girl. I'm here for a good massage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, y'all, our Women's History Month continues. We are like thrilled to celebrate all things women because God made us fearfully yes. and wonderfully, and we bask in that daily. So hope you have been enjoying the Supernatural Girl Power series that we are in the middle of. We're going to pick it back up, I promise. But we had to take a short detour this week because there was a movie that had limited viewings in the theater this week called He Calls Me Daughter. Hopefully you have seen the trailer, the previews. We're going to play it if you haven't, but we are actually going to do a movie review on that amazing movie, He Calls Me Daughter. And have to give a shout out to our girl, friend of the BE community, Kia Stevens, who actually is featured in the movie. I am so proud of her. Like, just head over heels proud of her. Like, it was amazing to see her on the big screen, sharing her story, her journey of overcoming father wounds, and just like, and up there with some heavy hitters, y'all. I mean, I'm talking about, like, you know, giants in the Christian community, in the business community, like amazing, in nonprofit orgs, like amazing, amazing people were featured in this film, and she was one of them. So we definitely got to give her a shout out. But yeah, before we dive into reviewing this movie, shall we show the trailer?
Yeah, we should show the trailer.
All right, let's get yes. into it.
All right, check it out.
Grateful that I can be sad because I didn't cry for a long time.
My dad never told me that I was pretty. My dad never told me that I was special. or important. He didn't know me.
I don't remember a church my dad ever pastored at that he didn't have a girlfriend.
My dad, as soon as he was out of my life, there was just this gaping wound.
All I wanted was my daddy to say that I was his.
My dad threw my head into the table and broke my nose.
Many women who have the father hole in their heart don't necessarily know it. They know that something deep hurts, but they don't know what it is. The truth is, every daughter needs affirmation from her dad.
I was starving myself and cutting myself all the time.
This whole thing with my father was affecting my life.
When I wasn't working, I was drinking and getting into bad relationships.
When our human father corrupts our understanding of what father means, of course we project a wrong understanding of fatherhood on, and we need to see the revelation of God in Jesus.
Jesus as a man and God as a father, I could not connect with that at all.
All of us desire to hear our Heavenly Father saying, I love you, I want a relationship with you.
I said, God, my way's not working. I need your help and I want you to take over.
A Heavenly Father changes everything. I needed to remember that today.
My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Yes, Lord. Wow.
This brings me, I just kept crying in the movie theater. And I was by myself and I was like, I don't even have anybody with me. But yeah, that movie, oh my gosh, it spoke to me so much. I'm still like wiping my tears looking at the trailer. It was
powerful movie.
Yeah, it was definitely a powerful movie for sure. There was just so many things that resonated with me while I was watching it. And you guys know I've shared on Becoming Eva, like my father wounds, and to have it articulated in so many different perspectives and views. And it felt like kind of like I was being seen in the movie and like watching it and listening to the different stories. It was a really powerful movie.
So good. So good. Yeah, definitely being seen and unapologetically seen. Like, I think it was just beautiful to take the time to acknowledge, like, yes, this is a burden, this is a weight that a lot of women carry. And you know, it exists for a variety of different reasons, and it is not to be overlooked. It is not to be swept under the rug. It is not to just kind of be like brushed aside, like, oh, well, you know, or everyone deals with that. Like, just the time and the attention that was given to really unpacking father wounds, I felt was super restorative. Like, it was very, like, to be able to just sit in it, you know what I mean? And to not feel like you have to like rush through it or hurry up and get to the solution or not acknowledge it or, you know, medicate it, but like to really just sit in it and be like, yeah, that's real. That's real. And it hurts and it's hard. Like, it is. So I appreciated that. And like you said, just the variety of stories that were told, the different perspectives and even the different definitions of absent fathers. Like, women lost their fathers through so many different ways, you know, whether physically, emotionally, to addiction, like, you know, and all of them were impacted in different ways because of it. So I just appreciated the attention that was given to the subject of father wounds and the platform it was given, because I really believe that it has and is and will continue to foster healing and restoration in so many women.
And I thought it was really important that they acknowledge that some women don't even know that they have those giant holes. They don't even know how to articulate it. And I feel like that resonated with me, especially when I don't remember who was sharing the story, but she was saying, you know, she tried to excel at everything. And she was in all these different activities and being the best that she could. And I was like, oh my God, that sounds like me, you know, and how I did so many activities as a high schooler and college and middle schooler. And I always tried to excel and be perfect at all the things and work so hard. And, you know, I was like, I never really figured out where that drive came from, but I know it's always kind of been there since I can remember. Just like, you know, there's just so many different layers to it that you have, that I've been connecting, like from being called you know, stupid, but then also having like the father wounds, not having my biological father in my life, and just kind of feeling like, why am I not value, why am I not like good enough, like to be loved, I guess, in the way that I want to be loved, but as a daughter. So it was just like so many messages that resonated with me.
A lot to unpack. Let's get into it. The title, He Calls Me Father, like you were saying, has layers in and of itself, you know, and in the earthly realm and in the spiritual and heavenly realm. So, I mean, what are your thoughts about that? How do you interpret that title? How do you receive that title? Why is that title even important? Like, just saying it, honestly, I feel like it's like putting salve on a wound. You know what I mean? It's like it causes you to exhale and just, you know, breathe a little deeper.
I think the title was beautiful and strategically created. He calls me daughter. That to me speaks to how God sees us as his. Like, we are God's princesses. We are, you know, royalty. And we should value ourselves and not think of ourselves as any less than. And then I feel like as it relates to an earthly father, you want to feel like you belong to a father. And unfortunately for some of us, we don't have that feeling like we actually belong to a earthly father. But in unpacking the movie, I feel like it's more important that you understand who your spiritual father is. I think that's more important than the earthly father. So
yeah,
what are your thoughts on it?
Honestly, just breaking down the title, like he, first and foremost, I think it's important to acknowledge, especially in this day and age, because I feel like feminism has kind of opened up this door and created this philosophy where almost like as a hyperbole of the other end of the spectrum, like we don't need men or men aren't important or men aren't valued. And honestly, I feel like that is a defense mechanism because of how hurt women have been by men in the past, whether it be by their father or by broken relationships, abuse, verbal, mental, physical, sexual, emotional. Like men have hurt women in the past in a myriad of ways. And so I feel like for the past few decades, recently, we've tried to reclaim and heal, if you will, by almost trying to erase the importance of the male figure, almost as like a defense mechanism. So the fact that he is the start of the phrase to me just reiterates the importance of male figures in our lives as women. Healthy, godly men of integrity. That is important. That helps to shape our identity as women. Even from the point of conception, I was talking with someone this week and they were talking about, we were talking about fertility and shout out to Juju. I was talking to Juju. If you watched Supernatural Woman, Supernatural Girl Power, our last week's episode, was talking to her and she was talking about how the male sperm or the male semen is what helps support the strength of the placenta in the womb of a woman when she's carrying a baby. And you don't think about, of course you think about, yeah, it takes an egg and it takes some sperm to make a baby, but you don't really think about how from the very beginning, from the moment of inception, the Lord has assigned a role for men to play in creating life. It's never just been about the woman. Yes, we do, you know, we carry the child for 9 months and endure labor and all of those things. But at the same time, there's a role even from the point of birth, you know, even, you know, it's been said that the male sperm determines the gender of the baby. So there's so many different aspects from the beginning that God has created for men to play in our lives from inception. So he calls to me, and I am so big on audibly speaking the word of God, audibly speaking encouragement and the promises of God over myself and over my life. I have to not just reflect on them. I have to recite them. I have to declare them over my life. And that's a whole nother topic. If you watch Track Stars, I had a good conversation about that. But all that to say, I have to declare the word of God over my life audibly and verbally and claim it as my own to like really receive it for myself. And so the fact that the word calls is in that title to me speaks to the fact that we need to hear men say, I love you. Mm-hmm. I value you. I appreciate you. You are enough. I need to audibly hear that early on in my life because it sets the stage for so many different things. Literally. And then of course me, but daughter, of course, that I claim you as my own. Mm-hmm. You come from me. We are attached. I'm your covering. I'm your protector. I'm your provider. Like, for a woman to hear and know and to have that revelation is essential. And I think the longer we go without experiencing that, the more we trick or deceive ourselves into thinking we don't need it, when all the while we're trying to find it in other places.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, the title just itself spoke volumes. Like, to literally say it is like affirming and reminding yourself of the Lord's promises over your own life. Like, I'm a daughter. I am a daughter of the Most High God. I am a daughter. He claims me. I am not an orphan. I am not out here having to try to figure things out on my own. I am covered. I am protected. I am seen. I am known. I am loved. Like, that, all of that to me is encompassed in being a daughter and being a child of the Most High God.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, we talked a lot about different types of father wounds. Do we want to kind of give some examples that were shared in the movie? Because again, you know, oftentimes you think, I ain't got father wounds. I grew up with my daddy. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you could have grown up with your father in the household, you know? And praise God if you had an amazing relationship with your father. You know, I think that's a great thing. But I just appreciated the fact that they explored other ways that you could have or be experiencing father wounds.
Yeah. There were so many very good stories that the film presented, like the story of the pastor. He was excelling in the pulpit and failing at home. He was not being a good husband, cheating on his wife, you know, and the daughter had witnessed some of it, and the abuse, like when she did, and you know, see it, and this is like
punished.
Yeah, she was punished. And then she tried to tell her mom.
Yeah.
And mom kind of, you know, had to be strong and brave and kind of sweep it up under, like,
yeah.
Woo! So that story stood out to me. And then the story when I think it's the actress, I think BJ, when she heard her father, like her father said, I don't even know if you're mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
To say out loud. And you know, she eventually had to ask like family members, like, why would he say that? And you know, they both were like, her mom and her dad were, you know, cheating on each other. And so there was a question of the paternity. But then when she had her child, like the child looked just like like her dad. And I was like, oh my goodness. So that cut pretty deeply. And then the ones that grew up like completely without a father in the picture and had to basically find ways to make money by stripping on, you know, strip pole and making money, and then her view of God and Jesus and how she didn't want to worship a man is how she connected men to be, and then seeing like she would see married men coming to the strip club, and you know, she just did not have any good representation of men. There was just so many stories that stood out to me. Which one stood out to you?
Yeah, I will say definitely the young lady who began stripping, but also the woman who grew up with an amazing relationship with her father, but she ended up losing him to addiction.
Oh, yeah.
And so literally to have to go from one extreme to the other, where it's like, you know, everywhere he was, I wanted to be. And I knew he loved me and, you know, and I knew that he cared for me. But to then see him begin to deteriorate because of an addiction to painkillers. It wasn't even like he was, you know, cracked out or something, but he got hooked on painkillers and it
from like a motorcycle accident. Yeah. And he started taking
his family apart. Yeah. Like tore it apart. So I'm like, there's so many different ways that we can be impacted by father wounds without even, you know, without even trying. It's not, you know, it's not like he set out to destroy his family, but addiction did just that. But yeah, I agree. The woman that was, you know, stripping and just talking about how she had, like you said, no good representation of men and how she just was like, I can't reconcile serving a man. I don't even know what a father is. So why would God be my father? How does that even work? You know, like, but I enjoyed just hearing her testimony about how literally just the faithfulness of some godly women that were called to minister to strippers, basically, you know, bringing them food. I think it was called the Scarlet House. And how over time she slowly but surely started dropping her guard and, you know, asked for prayer and started having conversations with women. And even the story, the fact that one of the Christian women that was ministering to her used the story of Hosea to minister to her. I was like, wow, like what an amazing connection. And I remember the first time I heard that story, I was like, why would God tell that man to do all that? Like, you know, marry this prostitute who's cheating on him and, you know, rebelling against him and don't want nothing to do with him, but he just supposed to love her. I'm like, how in the world is that? How does that work? And it took a long time for me to reconcile, like to connect the fact that, oh, that's me. Like, I am the prostitute. I am the harlot. I am the one who constantly is trying to go and find things to replace God with. You know, I am the one who will love God one day and then turn my back on him the next. But God still loves me. He still chases after me. He still pursues me. He still calls me his bride. What in the world? But yeah. I love the fact that that story was like, okay, if that's how God sees me, and that's really how I'm living present day, he loves me that much. Okay, let me see if, you know, if this is real, if this is true, you know. And even the fact of her not even being able to hear herself say the words, like she had to say it in the shower while the water was running. Like, God, I need you to come in and fix me and help me and make it right. Like, to me, that just gripped me because yeah. I was like, wow, the journey that she has been on, it's like she could barely utter the words.
Yeah.
Beauty of it is God heard it. God heard it in the middle of a shower with rushing water. She didn't have to shout it from the rooftops. She didn't have to say it in front of a congregation in the microphone. She literally said it in spirit and in truth from her heart in the shower. And he heard her cry and came in and changed her from the inside out. Like, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed her story and her journey. And you know, even like the funny parts where she was like, oh, I'm skipping Thursdays. Those church ladies gonna be there on Thursday. And then she started looking forward to seeing them on Thursday. And I was just like, it's amazing the types of ministries that God calls people to, you know, being the hands and feet of Jesus and going into those places that you don't typically see church people going to. So I just thought that was just amazing to see God going into those places through those women and really sowing seeds and ministering to them. Yeah. So that was really amazing. And then I know the story, and I can't remember the comedian's her name.
Oh, Shonda Pierce.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. But when she was talking about the end, when she called her father on the phone and was talking about like before he was getting ready to pass.
Yeah.
She's like, I hope to go fishing with you in heaven. And then I think other people were like, how could you say that, mm-hmm. you know, after your father's done all these horrible things? And then how she connected that with the love of Christ and how we are not to judge anyone, but to show love.
Yeah.
In spite of, you know, people's downfalls. And so mm-hmm. that spoke volumes to me. Like, even if you do have these huge earthly father wounds, we are still called to love and not judge them, because we don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in.
Yeah. She and the actress BJ Arnett both talked about the importance of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I know firsthand forgiveness can be super hard. You know, after my father passed away, his family was like, are you his? And I was like, what do you mean am I his? Like, we've been living in the same house, going to the hospital. You've known me about me since I was a little baby. Like, what in the world? What do you mean am I his? And so that feeling of rejection, especially compounded with grief, you're like, what in the world just happened here? Like, what in the world? But it hurts. It stings. But for them to both break down the fact that because of the love that the Father has lavished on us, because of that amazing, beautiful, grace-filled, unwarranted, undeserving love that we are recipients of, we are obligated. We're obligated to share it with those that are around us. We're no better. We're no better than the worst or the biggest sinner that you can think of. We're no better apart from Christ.
Yeah. It's
only by his grace, only because of the blood of Jesus that we have accepted, that we're even allowed into the Lord's presence. And so if we aren't willing to forgive those around us, like, how on earth are we worthy of God's forgiveness? How are we ourselves? And so just them setting that up and repositioning that, because both of them, as you mentioned, have been hurt extremely, extraordinarily by their earthly fathers. But because of the revelation of the love that they were able to receive from our heavenly Father, they were both able to forgive their earthly fathers. I can't stress enough the importance of that. And I'm not, by no means am I saying it's easy, because it's hard to walk through. I know both of us have talked about just that journey. And sometimes you lay it down at the Lord's feet, and then you end up picking it back up, and you're like, okay, I gotta lay it down again, you know. It may not be a one and done. It may be a journey, but we gotta stay on that pathway, because none of us are worthy of God's grace, of his mercy, and of his love. But he gives it freely.
Mm-hmm.
Give it freely. And again, and I love Shonda said it. She was like, it doesn't mean that what happened to you was right. And honestly, this is Maya adding to it. It doesn't mean you necessarily put yourself in the position to be hurt again by that. If that person is not in a position to be in healthy relationship with you, you may have to love them from afar. You may have to forgive them from afar. Or God forbid, if they passed on, you know, you may have to write them a letter and release them that way. What I'm saying is, forgiveness does not always mean that you accept continual hurt, continual abuse, that you continue to put yourself in those situations. You know, It does mean, though, that you have to trust the Lord with your heart. It does mean, though, that you have to release and relinquish, you know, any hurt or pain that you've experienced. But it doesn't excuse the action. It doesn't excuse the offense. So I just want to make that clear. We're not saying, oh, it's OK. Hurt me again. Keep hurting me. Keep abandoning me. Keep. No, we're not saying that. We are saying, though, you have to be at a place where you're willing to let it go. Not just for them, but honestly for you. Mm-hmm. Unforgiveness is so toxic and hurtful. It hurts us, you know? It hurts us. It's like that saying, you know, unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. Like, you know, the longer we hold on to unforgiveness, the harder it is for us to walk in joy, to have peace, you know, to be healed, not just emotionally, but physically. Unforgiveness manifests itself in our bodies, physically. So it's super important to be able to release those that have hurt us for our own benefit.
Yeah, and I thought it was also really good when she pointed out too, when she was like, she was even suicidal at points and times. And she said she wished sometimes she could go back and like tell her father, like, if you keep this up, you're going to have a kid that's going to want to kill themselves.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Too, when you think about it, like some of the decisions that some of our earthly fathers are making, like, can impact your children in such a deep, deep, deep way that you may not see in the future. And all this like co-parenting stuff is not the same.
It's not
as you actually being there day in and day out with your children and being there for your children and showing up for the basketball games and the extracurricular activities and being there for homework and bath time and prayer time and reading script. Like, it's so much that you miss when you quote unquote co-parent and you only see your kid, like, you know, every other weekend or however y'all have it arranged. Like, you don't know how much that's going to really impact your children in the future, but it will impact them in some type of way. And so I just hope fathers can get it together. Because you don't know if your kid is going to grow up and really struggle and be depressed and may want to kill them. Like, it's.
My gosh. I guess what practical steps would you recommend for those that they may just be discovering, oh my gosh, I have father wounds. Like, what in the world? You know, I could be a grown woman, an adolescent, what have you, but what would you recommend for someone? What steps toward healing should someone take if they are realizing they have father wounds?
Yeah. And I can share what I did. It took me a long time, I feel like, to even recognize that it was a father wound that I had. So I did not grow up with my biological father. I did have a stepdad who was a part of my life since I was younger. But it's different. It's a different relationship. And I felt, I thought I was fine. Like, I didn't miss out. Like, I appeared to have a, you know, a two-parent household, but it was still different. I'm like, huh, why do we have different last names? Like, why don't I look like him? Like, oh, that's, oh, my stepsister, that's like his real daughter. You know, mm-hmm. like, you know, those questions.
Yeah.
Come up in your mind. So it's always like, well, who, well, if that's not my real dad, then like, where is my real dad? Mm-hmm. Why don't I ever talk to him? Why don't, you know, he doesn't call me. He doesn't send me cards, send me anything for Christmas, birthdays. Mm-hmm. Like, who is this person who's supposed to be like my biological father that I belong to? Like, I see, mm-hmm. you know, my stepsister or my half sister, like you guys have, you know, well, my half siblings, they had both mm-hmm. of their parents in the house. And
yeah,
I mean, like, you know, their biological parents.
Yeah.
And so there were questions in my mind that I didn't really articulate and voice out mm-hmm. loud. And so I did not realize that I had father wounds, and I honestly didn't even realize like where the ambition and the drive came from until I was much, much, much older. Mm-hmm. But once I did realize that I was struggling with it, mm-hmm. and when I met my biological father here when I was in college, and our first like one-on-one interaction was not good.
Wow.
Where he was pretty much like, you're grown now, mm-hmm. you know, you should be able to take care of yourself. Don't really call me for money. And, you know, like you're grown type of conversation. I was like, well, you know, I'm a freshman, like in this new city. By myself, you're technically the only family that's near that I have. And I felt like I was still alone when he kind of said that during our first like interaction. It was kind of like, you should be able to figure things out. Like, you're 18, like, mm-hmm. you know, you're grown technically. And like, I don't know. That was even hurtful when I, you know, for our first one-on-one time that I was able to eventually have. And I'm like, okay, well, all these years and this is what I got. Wow. And so it was like digging the knife in a little bit deeper. And, you know, he got remarried and then eventually had another daughter. It's like he was building his family, like this new family. Mm-hmm. And like, okay. And he has been there for his daughter her entire life. And so it's like, I wonder why I didn't get that from him. Like, I didn't get that. And so eventually, you know, through much, much prayer, and because sometimes you say, I forgive that person, I forgive that person. And it's not like I don't want to say it's not really, really true, but sometimes the hurt is like super deep that it takes a lot of work to like truly
forgive. Yeah.
And it's not just words.
Yeah.
And so what I had to do was write him a letter. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I sent it. Some people may say like, don't send a letter, but I did. Mm-hmm. I sent it. I wrote it all down, like all of my thoughts and feelings, because I mm-hmm. wanted to articulate and make sure to get it mm-hmm. all out. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to him in the mail. And then we ended up like meeting up for dinner. I thought we were going to like dissect mm-hmm. it. And it was kind of more of like a surface level conversation.
Yeah.
And so I felt like it didn't like really change him. Yeah. I don't know what I was expecting was gonna happen. But I mean, it was just like, oh, he's still kind mm-hmm. of the same. This is who he is.
Yeah.
And so I had to, for me, accept that, okay, this is who this is how he shows up.
Yeah.
This is who he is.
Yeah.
Lower my expectations.
Yeah.
And then also I wanted to protect my children too. And I was like, well, he's not going to disappoint them. Like, so I'm very cautious and protective over my children when it comes to the interaction. Like, you know, like he can come, like they get invitations to birthday parties and all, like all the things and gatherings. And, you know, when he says he'll do certain things, like, I lower my expectations because, like, he may just be talking. It sounds good, but you know what I'm saying? Like, so I would say definitely you do have to communicate. I feel like at that point, because then it's up to that person to do whatever they will with that. Like, if they're going to step up in different areas, like, get it off your chest.
Yeah.
Let it go and like truly forgive and then have boundaries. I will definitely say have boundaries, set boundaries. Those are some other practical things. That was a long answer. So
No. I mean, it's a journey. It's a process. And it made me think actually of what Kia was sharing in the film about her journey with her biological dad, where she was like, you know, when I reached out to my dad, you know, and started trying to reconcile with him, I thought it was going to be like this big 80s sitcom where everything was going to be right with the world and we were going to be the best of friends. And, you know, and it just wasn't like that. You know, he was still battling his own situations and challenges, dealing with addiction and incarceration and all kinds of stuff. And at that point, you know, she had to decide, you know, especially after becoming a wife and a mother, okay, to your point, how much access am I going to give this man? Like, you know, I don't want to necessarily set my children up to be disappointed. I don't want to put them in danger or them to get hurt. So it's like, you know, what do healthy boundaries look like, you know? And then also too, having realistic expectations, because again, the forgiveness isn't for them. You know, you can forgive and you should forgive, but it may not yield any type of change in the person. It may not. It may make it worse, quite honestly. But again, it's about releasing them so that they no longer have a hold on you. So I think that process is just super important, super important. And I would say, don't be afraid to acknowledge that you have father wounds. I think as we were talking about earlier, you know, it can be very easy to just kind of sweep it under the rug and be like, okay, well, I'm just going to show and prove that I don't need a man, or I don't need my dad, or, you know, or you're constantly trying to strive for his affection or strive for his approval, you know, and not even realizing that's what you're doing. But that's why you're so high functioning. That's why you're so ambitious. That's why you are in every club, doing every activity and every event, like, because you're trying to prove and gain affection and realizing like, okay, I already have all the approval and all the affection that I could ever want or need from my heavenly father. I think it was another woman in the film who was talking about how there was a season where she was, you know, trying to pursue a certain role or career path. And the Lord was like, nope, I need you to just, you know, I need to have you all to myself. I need you to stay right where you are so that you realize that your worth and your value and your identity is not tied to your title. It's not tied to your position. It's not tied to how much you make or what you do or what you achieve or accomplish. Like, you are loved and you are valued simply because you are my daughter. That right there hit me. It hit me hard, because that was a realization that the Lord had to bring me to, where it was like, you are loved, you are seen, you are enough. Just because you're mine, just because I call you mine. And going back to even, you know, he calls me daughter. I think it's so easy for us to, you know, speak promises and the word of God over other people's lives. God's gonna bless you. God's got you. God's gonna heal you. God's gonna restore. God's gonna provide for you. But I think sometimes we live by a different set of rules when it comes to ourselves. I don't know if we always claim God's promises for ourselves. So the fact that he calls me Maya Janae Theronese Dawson, formerly Talbert, daughter, You know what I'm saying? If you have to insert your name in there to make it personal, you know, so that we're not talking about any and everybody else. Yes, he calls them daughter too, but you need to claim for yourself that the Lord God Almighty, creator of the universe, calls you specifically daughter. Like, I think that's an important promise for us to claim.
Yes. Yes. Woo. So all of this good stuff about father wounds, daddy issues, woman's worth. Mm-hmm. Tell them about the BE challenge for this week.
Okay. So what I love about this film is it didn't just leave you like empty handed, like, oh my gosh, I have father wounds. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to heal? Oh my gosh. No, they equipped you with resources to really help walk you through this process of healing and restoration and forgiveness and deliverance. So I want you to, if you're not able to see the movie, I know it's in limited theaters for only a short amount of time. I believe they're trying to get it online, so we'll definitely keep you posted as soon as we have details on that, so you can check out the movie if you weren't able to check it out this week. But visit hecallsmedaughter.org. Visit that that page, that site. There is a 6-week curriculum that they have available for anyone that may be struggling with father wounds. There are counseling resources on there. If anyone feels there's someone they need to talk to really help them unpack and address and heal from their father wounds, that is a resource. And then also, you know, y'all, we cannot end this episode without giving a shout out to our girl, Kia Stevens. I know my husband, Chris, and I had the opportunity to help her promoted when it was first released. Toya is featured in one of the videos. You can go to Kia Stevens on YouTube and actually hear her testimony, which she used as a part of the rollout for her book. But check out this book. It is an amazing resource because not only is it just like a book that you read and kind of, you know, walk through and unpack father wounds, but there's a curriculum in here. There are questions in here to help you really unpack and really think through and really apply the principles that we talked about as far as, you know, really embracing the father's love, really being able to reconcile and heal and forgive your earthly father. And so a lot of just practical steps that you can take. The letter writing exercise that Toya was talking about is mentioned in the book as well. So that is your BE challenge. So you got three things to choose from here, okay? Two of them are available on hecallsmedaughter.org. And then the third one is to check out this book. If there's something that you feel could benefit you, if it's a curriculum, a Bible study, a book, or you feel like you need to talk to someone, there are resources available. So our BE challenge is that you would take one step, big or small, toward healing from your father wounds. That is our BE challenge.
Yes. And don't forget to get your merch at becomingevatoday.com. Get your water bottles, your mugs, your totes, your jackets, slides, all the things. And thank you to our YouTube subscribers.
Yes.
Continue to share our show with friends and family. We want to continue to increase our YouTube channel subscribers. Our next goal is 1,000. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Becoming Eva Today. And we will see you guys next Saturday.
Bye.
See you guys soon.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.